So a few announcements before the homily. First, a reminder that right after Mass, we have our weekly novena to St. Peregrine for those who are fighting cancer and for their caregivers. I hope you can stay and join in those prayers. At the end of Mass, I'll go to the statue of the saint with the server. I ask you to stay in your pews and join us spiritually, either here in person or those who are tuning in by live stream. Again, I've mentioned before how many of our parishioners are fighting cancer and how helpful these prayers really are. Incidentally, you may have heard in our daily briefings that just recently we've been able to restore our pastoral visits. Many of our homebound, some of whom have been fighting cancer, have not received the sacraments or pastoral visitations in 4 months. So we're so grateful that the bishop gave permission and we were able to go and make these pastoral visits to these fellow parishioners. A few other reminders. You may have also heard that as of Monday, August 10th, our office and building will be closing at 2:30. That also means that as of August 12th, that Wednesday, our adoration will also conclude at 2:30. The adoration will continue until after Mass, and then at 2:30, we'll give benediction. Just to make you aware again, that's August 10th, the new hours, August 12th, that Wednesday, an adjusted adoration schedule. All this is being done in order to diminish expenses, in order to match and live within our means for the coming fiscal year. So I appreciate your understanding and patience with these adjustments. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. So today we hear about the great Saint Bridget. We honor her, this holy woman. And who was this woman of Sweden? Well, first, she was just a wife and mother. She was actually very happily married, became the mother of multiple children, and ran a household. And any of our mothers know the difficulty that comes with that. But after her husband passed away and her children became adults, she felt a second call in her heart in order to do something extraordinary, to serve the poorest of the poor. And she went as a secular Franciscan in order to do so. But still again, she heard another call within her heart, not simply to work within the Franciscan order, but to create her own, and particularly one consecrated and dedicated to the sorrows of our Lord and to his passion. And so she began to call young women to herself. They began to live a particular way of life. Eventually they left Sweden, found their way to Rome. Eventually this order began to grow and are now called the Brigantines. They continue to do great work, first in ascetical practices in honor of the passion of our Lord. If you ever seen a Brigantine sister, you know, because they wear the little crown. It looks like a little helmet. Has five little red dots in honor of our Lord's five wounds of our Lord. And of course, they wear a very simple, modest habit. But they serve the second, they serve the passion of the Lord, and second, they go where nowhere else wants to go. Whenever the church needs a group to go where nowhere else wants to go, even within our own religious orders, the church knows that she can send in the Brigantines. They will go to Lebanon, they will go to Syria, they will go to areas of Ebola and coronavirus, and they will go wherever they are sent because their entire life is an oblation to those in need. And they seek to fulfill that in selfless service. God has done great work through the Brigantine orders. And it all started with a woman who first felt a call to married life, and God blessed her to be a mother, and then felt a call to the secular Franciscans, and then felt a call to create her own order. Imagine if at any point along the way, Bridget had just said, enough, okay, enough, I've given enough, let someone else do it. Or after that second vocation had said, you know what, been there, done that, got the t-shirt, I'm done, right? I did that up north before I retired, okay? A thousand excuses she could have come up with when she had to leave her own homeland of Sweden because of misunderstanding. She could have said, maybe this isn't of God. This is a little uncomfortable. I'm getting to be an older woman now. Maybe I should just stop. No such thoughts were in Bridget's mind or heart. She did, at every step, everything the Lord asked of her. Dear friends, we're asked to do the same. Why do we place such limits on the providence of God? Why do we place such limits on the baptismal mission given to us in Jesus Christ? So oftentimes, we have become very comfortable with telling God when we've given enough. We tell God, well, that's it, we can stop now. Meanwhile, God's saying, no, I need you to give more. I need you to give more. Isn't that exactly what the prophet is speaking about today? To look at my people. I blessed them with prosperity, and they became fat and lazy and distracted, and they started worshiping idols. They prophesied to Baal, the false god. Look at my people. And God tells us to the prophet, I will take everything away from them, and I will bring them to the desert. I will break them down to their knees, that they might turn back to me. That sound familiar? I think we live in a prophetic moment, dear friend. And I do truly believe that God is calling humanity and the church to a quiet period, a time for us to go to the desert. God will continue to take from us. He will continue to break and call us to our knees. To those of us who are prudent, who are modeled and seek to be modeled and follow the holy witness of the saints, like St. Bridget, then God will be able to do great work. But if our human family decides no, then I suspect if we follow salvation history, after this time of opportunity, this time of warning, God will permit a severe destruction upon the human family. He will unleash a punishment unbefore imagined upon us. So we have a choice. We can take this opportunity, be inspired by the Holy Ones, go to the desert, repent, and do the works of God in goodness, or we can continue to rebel. Think that we have the solutions, think that we have the answers, limit his providence, and suffer the consequences. The choice is ours, dear friend. But the choice begins with the baptized. This human family has been entrusted to us. We bear a double responsibility on the day of judgment. The unbeliever will have their excuses, but we will not. God will say, I baptized you. I adopted you. I brought you into my family. I gave you my grace. I conferred upon you a kingdom, and you did nothing with it. You let your brothers and sisters build cisterns that leaked. You spoke nothing. You had ears, but you didn't hear. You had eyes, but you did not see. What answers will we have? What excuses will the believers have? None. None. And we will stand before the judgment seat and bear the results and the consequences of our decisions. The choice is ours, dear friend. Today we celebrate this Eucharist. We ask for the intercession of all the holy women, especially Bridget. We ask for the graces of conversion. We might turn to the living God, truly repent, and then get to work. Spread the kingdom of God. Do the good deeds that he has commissioned us to do. So the goodness can triumph. Darkness will be dispelled. And the fallen humanity will understand the vocation that has been waived, the vocation that has been given up, but the vocation that we are called to praise God and to selflessly serve one another.